You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast, number 132.
Hi, this is Rod Murray. Welcome back to my podcast. That little teaser was from a song called Fly, Fly, Fly by singer-songwriter Adrina Thorpe. She says she's influenced by Sarah McLachlan, Tori Amos, and Coldplay. So I think you'll like it. She has a sweet voice. And again, I'll play the full song at the end of my podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. I also invite you to follow me on Twitter. My handle is RodsPods. As always, I post links to all of the things we talk about on my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. My main topic today is an interview I had with John Baker. He's the CEO of D2L. Now, some of you may know that company better as Desire to Learn. I've been out of the loop for quite some time regarding D2L. If you're a regular listener here, you probably realize that my institution here at USciences is a Blackboard school. But it was a very interesting talk I had. I think you'll agree. They talk about their next generation of their learning platform, and they're calling it Bright Space. It was kind of a surprise when I went to their URL, d2l.com, and saw Bright Space. I wasn't sure if I was on the right spot or not. Quote, it's designed to develop smarter learners and help eliminate the attainment gap. By featuring a new faculty user interface and triggering adaptive learning to the masses, Brightspace is more flexible, smarter, and easier to use. So I talked with John about their next generation LMS, Brightspace. We answer the questions, why is it called Brightspace? Does it replace their legacy D2L? What is adaptive learning and what they call LEAP? What features can be used in class? What about student retention support and e-portfolios? What's with the new faculty user interface? How's it delivered? Is it multi-tenant cloud? Is it hosted or on-premises? So without further ado, here's my interview with John Baker.
John, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm anxious to hear all about your latest product, and I think my audience probably knows your company better as Desire to Learn. So before we get into the details of your latest product, why don't you give us a little bit of a history and your name change and so on?
Well, that sounds great. Well, thank you very much for inviting me to the podcast. The company is D2L. We've shortened it down from Desire to Learn. D2L was the acronym all of our clients around the world were using, and it certainly helps us as we go globally. More recently, we've launched a name for our product set, which incorporates a lot of technology around a learning management system and game-based learning to a number of other different components. And we call that product set, if you will, Brightspace. And Brightspace is to really, allow us to understand how we can speak to not just the company, but all the technology that we offer.
Yeah, it's funny because when I first started getting back and doing a little research on D2L, I put in the D2L website and I saw Brightspace, and to be honest, I've never heard about it. So is that very recent?
It's less than a year old. That's correct. The idea was just trying to make sure that we're elevating the conversation around both the company and the technology.
Does this replace your old product, your D2L product, the legacy product?
We introduced Brightspace at the same time that we really tried to reposition what we refer to often as a learning management system or an LMS. Mm-hmm. And so at that time, we were trying to look towards the future, and we see all of this technology around learning technology coming together around what we call an integrated learning platform. More commonly, we would think about it as a hub for personalized learning. That incorporates not just the LMS or the management system, if you will, for learning, but a whole range of other different components. Everything from things that we've built, like adaptive learning or predictive modeling, e-portfolios, to lecture capture, video technology, to a whole range of other technology that we offer. But also, you know, today we have about 2,000 different applications that have integrated into our system using APIs or open standards. And we expect that there will be thousands more in the future. So it was a great opportunity to think beyond the traditional LMS and look at it as an opportunity to really position the future of learning that's much more flexible and ideally much more intelligent than the past generation, if you will.
It's no surprise to a lot of my listeners that I work at an institution that uses Blackboard, so I really haven't been up on D2L or certainly Brightspace. For example, I was surprised to hear you just say that you do lecture capture. Is that your product or something that you've licensed?
It's our product, yeah. So when we think about learning today, it's much different than what we used to think about when we first started 16 years ago. And so the technology that we've incorporated into the solution includes lecture capture. We call it capture because we also see students using this technology to capture and share their own presentations that they might be giving as part of a capstone project or part of learning. Maybe they're in the hospital and they want to capture some video. But we also have broadened it to include things like adaptive learning, learning analytics, really trying to zero in on how do we predict if a student is on track for success or not and make the right recommendations both to the student as well as to the faculty. And then, you know, expanding out beyond those experiences, we've also really spent a lot of time on things like gaming or simulation-based learning now, where we're trying to create great learning experiences within the traditional learning management system that enable learners to be more engaged and more inspired to complete.
I'm hearing adaptive learning more and more. Could you delve a little deeper into that and tell us how you do adaptive learning, what that really means?
What we're really trying to do here is make a learning more built around the individual learner, so being much more learner-centric. And the ultimate goal is to personalize the learning experience. We know that not every student starts at the same spot, and they certainly don't finish at the same location. So how do we give each student the right content, the right assessments at the right time, to enable them to achieve the learning that you're setting out in this particular course or program or at the university or college. And we've done adaptive learning in our platform for nearly a decade with rules engines, for example, release this content if they've demonstrated they've mastered this particular objective or automatically send a notification if they've achieved the threshold of mastery. But what we're doing with Leap, which is our new product, is automating a lot of the work. So an instructor says, here's what I'm teaching. They either select the objectives that are already in the system or they type them in. And then it says, where's the content and where are the assessments? And so you select either from your course or perhaps it's from Wikipedia or Khan Academy or other library resources or perhaps from a learning repository. And then it goes out and crawls that content and connects the dots. It connects this particular objective or competency or learning outcome is linked to these assessment items and to these content topics. And then it creates a learning pathway for that individual student based upon what we predict is going to be more successful for that student to complete. And then as the student goes through, there's a lot of what we call formative assessment. So the student's just doing quick little assessments whenever they want to do a practice. And that indicates whether they're on track for success or not. And if they're not, then the engine will create a new learning pathway with different learning resources that are, again, predicted to help get that student back on track faster. So it's that real-time, immediate feedback combined with real-time changes to the learning pathway to help that student master that particular competency or learning objective that enables adaptive learning to really have a big impact.
I can see that this would be a valuable way to do online learning. How does this adapt, or how could this be used in what's typical for most of our students still, and that is classroom teaching?
Well, about 80% of the use of our technology is traditional classroom experience. Mm-hmm. And what we see with adaptive learning is you go through the traditional classroom experience, not every student leaves that classroom with a full understanding of what was just taught. And so the hope is that you still set those objectives in our system, even though you're teaching in the traditional classroom, and that a student can go home and at night be able to do these practice exercises to demonstrate that they've mastered that. And if not, then the content will, again, just be automatically created and generate a learning pathway for them to get back on track. And so the idea is that you know, your top students are going to have no trouble going through your traditional class. They might struggle with one concept or another, but they're going to get the help they need to master and move forward, you know, they're great students. But there's a large percentage of students, in some cases 80% or more, that are not getting the A's and B's. And LEAP, or our adaptive engine, designed to really help those students get up to that same level. So what we're seeing with clients is that we're increasing, you know, exam scores by 34% in one NSERC study, and we're seeing the time on task being reduced by about 30%. So they're going through, they're assessing better, and they're spending less time going through the activity. But there's no reason why that can't be a remediation module or a quick assessment, all done online, even if you're teaching in a traditional classroom.
Getting back to the in-class experience, are there pieces of Brightspace that are used during class, you know, audience response, that sort of thing?
So there's well, quite often every teacher does things differently. So many of the classroom experiences, for example, you could do like discussions or chat or some polling or surveys. All of those can be completed while the student's sitting in class. But you could also enable things like flipped classrooms with lecture capture being used, where the, you know, the professor or the instructor records the traditional classroom experience, the content delivery, if you will, and then uses the classroom time to do problem solving or case-based methodologies or other types of approaches to really engage the students and develop those higher order cognitive skills. That to me is the exciting part, is when we use the technology to help deliver the traditional experience. And then when you get to class, you're trying to use that face-to-face time in the most optimized way you possibly can to really help students with a better learning experience.
One thing that we've been looking for here is, I guess you could call it a back channel to be used during class, where students can post questions or somehow vote on questions. I know there was some promising software from Purdue University, but I don't think it's ready for prime time yet. Do you have something that would function that way?
We have some functionality that does some of that. So, for example, we have a chat functionality where they can, as the lecture is going along, people can be asking questions. Others in the class could be answering them at the same time, sort of as a threaded discussion, real time. You could also be voting things up or voting things down. So if there's if you want to enable that voting within the system, you have that capability. But then we also integrate hundreds of other applications that do everything from free polling to other types of classroom management as part of the integrated solution.
Wow, it seems like you've thought of everything. I wonder, speaking of lecture capture, which is not something I was planning to talk about today, but out of curiosity, can you also schedule classroom lecture capturing, or is this more for faculty to use, in their office?
Well, this is lecture capture that's been used by universities and schools and even governments all over the world for the last 15 years in a really efficient way. So it's three buttons, you know, just to start a recording, to webcast it, or to publish it, just making it really simple. But you could also schedule it. So if there's someone on campus that's responsible for this type of technology, they can simply say, these lectures are occurring in these time slots, and the equipment will just come on, record, publish, and take care of all the work for them automatically. And then what's neat about the lecture capture technology today is we've actually made it accessible. So we do things like we have a service called CaptionSync that we've integrated so that we can do the closed captioning right away. You can upload an SRT file, if you will. And what's great about having like the SRT file, which is basically, you know, if you can imagine the closed captioning bouncing along on the screen as the professor's talking, it also makes the video more searchable. And if you put up a document, like many of your professors would put up like a document camera, and they would show a document or they would show a PowerPoint, we OCR all of that now as well, so that all of that becomes searchable. So if a student is, you know, trying to recall something that was talked about in a particular lecture, they can just simply search, and it finds it across all the videos that have ever been recorded for that student, and it can go right straight to that spot in the video and hit play.
Very cool. I guess in the IT world, it's always, you know, do you go for sort of best of breed, or you try to get one product that does it all? It sounds like you do pretty much all of it. How about integrating with other systems, or if you have a replacement for something like Starfish, which we use for student retention, mm-hmm. or Taskstream, which we use for collecting certainly portfolio information. Do you have products that would substitute for them?
We have products that do similar functionality. We also have seen many of our clients integrate both of those products within our technology as well. So we have a full e-portfolio that's mobile first, so students can capture and share reflections, photos, video of activities that they're doing, and it syncs with their cloud portfolio. We also give them 2 gigs of storage for free for life. So just making it really easy for them to share and have that portfolio, if you will, carry with them from not just through university experience, but hopefully they keep coming back to university as they graduate. And then we also have a lot of work around our, what we call our student success system. So that's our predictive modeling technology that enables us to predict if a student's going to pass or fail, or they're just simply underengaged, or they're doing something that's poor from an academic perspective, so they can zero in on what the hurdle is to get that student back on track, or if they're just simply on track for success. That predictive technology is really exciting in my mind because, you know, today we're better than 92% accurate in predicting on millions of enrollments that have gone through and used the system. Better than 92% accurate if a student's going to get an F or a D versus an A, B, C. Very clearly, you can zero in on the students that are at risk of dropping out of the course, so you can engage with them early and try to get them on track, and also seeing why they're struggling. And we're already seeing attainment levels, like closing the attainment gap between low-income students and higher-income students, between Pell Grant recipients and non-Pell Grant recipients, between first-generation students and non-first-generation students. We're closing that long-standing gap with some of this guidance technology, if you will. But really importantly, we're seeing the on-time completions go up for a lot of our clients. So now it's hard for us to say we're the ones that are causing that to happen, but there's certainly a good correlation between the rolling out of this technology and an immediate improvement in completions and an on-time success for these students.
I had a couple of questions.
Go ahead, Ron.
Yes, the technology behind it all. Of course, mobile is where it is at these days for students. Is your main LMS, does it use adaptive design, or is there a separate app that they need for, say, an iPad or their mobile phone?
So a lot of our technology, we have native apps. A great example would be Binder, where we've worked with all the major publishers to create an e-textbook version, but also integrated in their content from their courses or their own personal content into native apps for iOS, Android, and in this case even Windows and other platforms. We also do a lot of work around responsive web design, so that the technology just simply works. It doesn't matter if they've got specific brands of phone or not, or which form factor. It will just adapt automatically, if you will, to each different device that students is using. So it's the combination of the two that I think is going to be the future, because we're also working a lot with clients to not just provide a platform that enables students that have mobile devices, whether it's a smartphone or a tablet, to work. But we're also trying to enable templates, if you will, for faculty to be able to create content that will work across these different devices too. And our streaming technology, like Capture, so for example, if a client has a video on a desktop, can simply drag and drop that up into the learning system, and it will automatically convert it to a format that will work across all of these different devices and all the different browsers.
That's very nice. Yeah, that's always been an issue we've had here with, how to handle video, and Blackboard doesn't stream video, and we've had a number of sort of interim solutions, and so that would be very nice. Again, from the sort of the system administrator point of view and IT, how is your system delivered? Is it can institutions host it themselves? Do you host it? Is it a multi-tenant cloud situation?
So the overwhelming majority of implementations are multi-tenant cloud implementations. That seems to be where the world is moving very quickly. Although, we still do have a number of clients that are doing what we call on-premise. But in those cases, we've also moved them to a model where it's basically a mimic of what we're doing with our cloud technology. So the idea is zero downtime, monthly updates, and you run these environments so that you get the 99.9% uptime regardless of what's happening. The other nice thing for our cloud clients is that if you follow Moore's Law, we just did a quick study on how we're performing against Moore's Law, which is the doubling of something every year, year and a half, and we've managed to double our storage every year for our cloud clients for the last 7 years without missing a beat and without any price increases. So, you know, just really enabling us to leverage this large number of clients to really aggregate costs across a group enables us to drive more value year after year after year, too.
That's impressive. I guess I was curious, how often you roll out changes? Is it annual? And then what is there anything new that we haven't talked about yet? Anything coming down the pipe that you want to give us a peek at?
What's great about our new model of delivery, it actually goes back to where we started the company, is we release now on a monthly basis. So for the last 17 months, we've been doing monthly updates for our clients. And anything that's big, they can choose to turn on or leave off. So if they don't want to change how the quizzing tool works, for example, during an exam period, they can leave that change for the next month. It gives them that flexibility, if you will. It's always being updated, but at the same time still giving our clients control. Now, a lot of the big changes that we've just recently launched really centered on what our clients have been looking for. So a third of the new release that we just put out came from our product idea exchange, where clients are voting up the best ideas. So we're really being responsive to client input. But also, we launched a lot of technology around things like game-based learning, a new adaptive learning platform, and all of these other different components. And what I'm also happy to report is that we've also done a lot of work on, you know, the core learning environment, and launched what we call our new faculty UI, which, you know, in our case, the three most important things for us to do are make sure that it's easy for faculty to use and for students to use. Make sure that it provides the flexibilities to support all the range that you're going to use from a teaching and learning perspective. And then also bring more intelligence, if you will, to the platform. So easy, flexible, and smart. And what we just did an internal study, and we're looking to get it externally validated, showing that D2L scored 24% higher on an ease of use basis compared to any other LMS in the market. And what we're zeroing in on is just making sure that we remove those barriers, if you will, for people wanting to change from older one-size-fits-all approaches to teaching and learning to much more of a personalized and adaptive and flexible system going forward.
That's a lot to digest. I think
the change has picked up a lot.
I think my listeners will be like me. I think I'm pleasantly surprised about what you're doing and how you're moving forward. So I want to thank you very much for spending the time to talk to me today, and the best of luck on your continued success.
Rod, thank you very much for taking the time with me, and again, I really appreciate you supporting all this change that's happening in teaching and learning. I think it's a very exciting time, and I look forward to talking with you again soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
So I hope you enjoyed the interview. I was quite pleased with what John was saying about Desire to Learn or Brightspace Now. Of course, the proof is in the demo. I haven't seen it live, but it certainly sounds very promising. It seems like they thought of all the bells and whistles. It's quite a bit more sophisticated and inclusive in terms of their different technology than I had imagined. So it's certainly worth checking out if you're in the market for a learning management system. So stay tuned for the song Fly, Fly, Fly by Adrina Thorpe. And until next time, have a great week.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog, send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com, or leave audio feedback on his comment line at 610-616-2199. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.